Okay, I thank you for coming out. This was by your request. There was a number of requests from the Kohanim and the Shul to review some of the laws pertaining to the duchening of the practice of Birchas Kohanim itself as we approach Yontif once again. Let me tell you what we're not going to discuss in this year, and we're not going to go through. We're not going to discuss the conduct of the Shliach Tzibur or the Tzibur itself during the Birchas Kohanim. That's for them to figure out, and that's for there to know the halachas of how to react to that case. So we're going to discuss Kohanim only, from the beginning of Birchas Kohanim to the end of what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And we're not also going to discuss, you know, who's possible to be for Birchas Kohanim, who should, who shouldn't, a person with something on their hands, all the different types of things. That's not our discussion right now. We're assuming a normal, healthy person is able to do all the proper things from the beginning to the end of Birchas Kohanim. That's number one. Point number two is, I know that Kohanim have minhagim, what their fathers told them and their grandfathers told them going back. I'm not here to upset anyone's minhagim, what they heard from their parents or their grandparents. I'm only here to tell you what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Poskim, and a person can take with it what they want. The Gemara also says that Kohanim are very fiery and they have a lot of temper. So we'll try to keep everything as efficient as we can, and we'll try to bring everything together. A halacha mai. So let's begin as Birchas Kohanim does with the shoes. That's really how Birchas Kohanim begins. Is what are we supposed to do with our shoes? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph. And again, in the Gemara and Sota, just to be aware, the main sug of Birchas Kohanim is about three dapim in Masechah Sota, where most of the topics halacha lemaisa are found. So the Gemara notes in two places, Rav Yochanan and Zakkai was metaken that Kohanim must remove their shoes for Birchas Kohanim for two reasons. And this is Saibla Halacha and Shulchan Aruch here in Simen Kuf Chal Chesim in 128 is where all the halachas of Birchas Kohanim are found as well. What are the two reasons? The first reason brought is that perhaps your shoes will be dirty. People will notice. It will be a lack of kavod hatzibor to have dirty shoes up on the duchen, and therefore the kohanim have to remove their shoes. The second reason is perhaps your laces will become undone. You'll want to tie them during Birchas Kohanim because you aren't saying the bracha. You're bending down, tying your shoes, and then other kohanim are going to be saying the bracha. What's with this guy not saying Birchas Kohanim? He's paying attention to his shoelaces. It must be that he's puzzled. He's not a good kohen. They're going to call into question your yichus, because you're going to be paying attention to your laces and not to the bracha. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, let's just get all these problems out of the way. Kohanim, no shoes during the bracha. The Beis Yosef notes that even if you don't have laces, then the first reason still applies. Meaning, don't say, oh, well, I have loafers, so therefore it's not going to apply to me. Even if you have loafers on and no laces, you still have to be concerned about that your shoes will be dirty. And according to the second reason, it doesn't matter, this is a low plug de Rabbanan. Sometimes Chazal make a rule that this is the rule no matter what the situation is. I have clean shoes, there's no laces, doesn't matter, de Rabbanan, you must take your shoes off for Birchas Kohanim. There is a machlokas aposkim as to whether the Kohen should remove the right shoe or the left shoe first. We know that when we get dressed in the morning, we do right shoe first, then left shoe, then tie left, right, then tie right, all that's in order. There's a machlokas in this case. Do those rules apply when you're taking your shoes off for Birchas Kohanim? So Rav Yechiel Michalta Kaczynski in the Luach Eretz Yisrael, he says right is removed first, and the Dvar Yehoshua of Yehoshua Ehrenberg writes in Chelek Gimel that it should be like everybody else removes their left shoe first. And you should do whatever your minig is in that case, whatever you do when it comes to either taking your right shoe off first or your left shoe. Why is he flipping around? Because he says it's not a normal taking off of the shoes. It's taking off the shoes for the sake of a mitzvah, and therefore the right should lead in this case.
What about Yom Kippur when you're not wearing shoes?
So then you have nothing to worry about.
No, but you still have the other problem of wearing dirty shoes.
Oh, what do you mean?
You're not wearing leather shoes.
Oh, well, let's discuss leather in a second. So all of the poskim note that the halacha applies even if you're not wearing leather shoes as well. It is not necessarily tied to leather, although there's a tshuva of the Knesset Yecheskel and Siman Yud Aleph where he entertains the possibility of keeping on non-leather shoes if it's too cold to go without shoes. Let's say there's no heat in the shul and be very uncomfortable to not wear shoes. So he says if it's not leather shoes, then maybe we can entertain such a possibility of it being too cold, plus it's non-leather, maybe we can come up with such a kula. Yeah.
Now, weren't they always barefoot?
Correct. That's why they always had illnesses.
Not that we're like,
because it's not the base.
We're emulating the Kohanim.
Because it's not the base of Mikdash. The reason they took off their shoes.
But it's still
that's
the
not
way
what it
the
was.
Kohanim would bless the people.
That's technically Midah Raisa. You would not have. There's nothing about Birchas Kohanim. You have to have your shoes off. That was a technicality because you were in the base of Mikdash, and you have to have your feet bare in the base of Mikdash. But,
in fact, isn't that why they put down carpeting? Because you shouldn't be directly on the stone floor?
As well, like, correct. Because like you shouldn't think that it's the base on Mikdash. So,
that's to keep Kohanim's feet warm. They get cold, they'll be...
It's true. The Gemara says the Kohanim suffered from intestinal problems because they always got sick because they had their cold feet on the base on Mikdash. Next, the Shari Knesset HaGadol Ruchaim Ben Avista. So he writes in Hagos on the tour that when shoes are removed, they should not be left out in the open for people to see. Rather, they should be tucked away under a bench or a chair where they'll not be seen by others. Leaving them out for the people to see is a lack of Kavod HaTzibur. I don't need to see that you have, you know, Louis Vuittons. Nobody really cares. Put your shoes away, and nobody needs to trip over them, under the bench, out of the way, where nobody should see your shoes during
also,
davening.
You don't run the risk of someone stealing.
Correct. That also another reason you don't want to have anybody losing their shoes. And this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, the halacha. The Prima Gadim seems to imply it's only an issue if it's dirty. That's the whole issue, because that's the lack of Kavod HaTzibur to have dirty shoes. But the Poskim seem to say, I think we can all find a place to put our shoes not in the middle of the aisle, or not out for everybody to see as well. What? Correct. At the bottom of the steps is not an appropriate place for shoes. Leave them in a place that they're not going to be in people's way. The Shari Knesset HaGadolah continues that if your shoes cannot be removed without touching them and the laces, then you should remove them before you wash your hands. Don't wash your hands and then touch your shoes. The Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays a Kohen shouldn't go up barefoot without socks because it's not respectful to stand in front of the tzibur without socks. And certainly in America, in Eretz Yisrael it may be different, but certainly in America, it would not be covered a tzibur to not have socks on during Birchas Kohanim. Let's turn now to the washing of the hands. The Gemara in Sota says that there's a takana derabanan because the pasuk says su'u yedeichem kodesh uvarachu es Hashem, raise your hands in holiness and then bless Hashem, that the Kohanim should wash their hands before Birchas Kohanim. There's a machlokus rishonim whether this is a mitzvah on its own right or it's only to make sure you have clean hands for Birchas Kohanim. Is there something special about having washed hands or is it just an aspect of cleanliness? Regardless, we wash our hands before Birchas Kohanim. Regarding the mitzvah of the Levim to wash their hands, we gave a shir on that last year. You can go look at the shir online, the Levim and their role in that, but we're only worrying about Kohanim tonight. Even though they already did Netil Sadaim in the morning, the Kohanim must wash their hands as well, except in extenuating circumstances. Just a Kohen is a Kohen allowed to rely on the Netil Sadaim in the morning. For example, if a Kohen would have to pass in front of someone who is davening, we know that the halacha is taken very seriously to not walk in front of someone davening from Esrei. The Gemara is very, very severe about this. So in such a case, a Kohen should rely on the washing of hands in the morning and not walk in front of somebody who is still davening Shemona Esrei. You may rely on the original Natil in such a case if they'd washed their hands on their wrists and kept them clean until that point. Yeah.
At the Kotel, we're by getting to the wash station, there's a long way to get back.
So the Kotel is its own ball of wax. It has its own all types of issues. It's a tough situation. There's all different types of minyanin there going on. It's hard to say. I don't know. You have to ask the people in the Kotel what the minig is and what they do. Yeah.
You touched something between yesterday and now. Are you allowed to go in front of people's Shemona Esrei to wash your hands again?
So it would probably be preferable to wipe your hands instead. Instead of going to somebody's Shemona Esrei, correct. I would suggest perhaps as follows, that it may be even better, and I'm not going to say, you know, make a new rule in the shul, but it may be possible to say that it's better to do Netil Sadaim before Chazaras Hashatz. If everything being equal, if you can arrange Netil Sadaim before Shemona Esrei even begins, because hopefully you're not going to touch anything in the beginning of your Shemona Esrei or even before Chazaras Hashatz, then maybe even better. Because you'll take care of not interrupting anybody during Shemona Esrei to make sure you do it before Musaf begins. And also, at the same time, you won't miss Chazaras Hashatz. How many Kohanim go out and they miss all of Chazaras Hashatz, all these different parts of davening? For sure. In our shul, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of Kohanim. For a very small shul, we have a lot of Kohanim.
I always looked at that as an advantage.
Why? Oh, to miss the davening. So, also, you have to be aware, on Rosh Hashanah, the Iker davening is Chazar Sashas. And Kohanim spend so much time out during Chazar Sashas, they're not there for Tekiyah Shofar at a certain point as well. It's good, perhaps, if possible, to... What? No, yeah. I'm saying it's we try, but there's a lot going on. You need to be there and hear Chazaras Hashatz. Therefore, again, we're not going to make any new halachos, but if a Kohen could arrange to have his hands washed before Shemoneh Esrei, it would alleviate a lot of problems as well. The Rambam writes in the Chosfil in Perek Tzvav, Kohanim must wash their hands to their wrist like they would do for any avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's turn, yeah. What? Even on Yom Kippur, correct. Even on Yom Kippur.
Would it be more preferable to wash your own hands before Shemoneh Esrei and not have a Levi do it, or wait to do it during Chazar Sashatz with a Levi doing it?
I would say perhaps better to wash your own hands before. And if you can chop a Levi, then I guess that would be nice for the Levi. It's the kavod that's given to the Levi. But the Levi washing the Kohen's hands is ma'akev in no way. It does not change the mitzvah at all. Next, let's turn now to going up to the Duchen. The Gemara in Sota notes that the Pasuk says, V'yisa Aaron es yadav al ha'am, that Aaron raised his hands over the people, V'yivarchem, and he blessed them, V'yered me'asos ha'chatas, when he came down from offering the korban chatas. So therefore, the Kohanim approached the Birchas Kohanim after the avoda, which in our case means the recitation of Ritzei. The bracha of Ritzei is a reflection of avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, so we begin the process of going up to the Duchen connected to the mentioning of the avoda in Ritzei, which reflects on the avodas HaMikdash. If they do not make a motion towards the Duchen while Ritzei is being said, then you may not recite Birchas Kohanim. There must be a connection between the recitation of the avoda and going up to the Duchen. If you do not pivot to go towards the Duchen by the end of Ritzei, meaning, Rav Sajagon writes in the Siddur and the Elia Rabba note that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean the end of Ritzei, it means as long as the Shatz doesn't begin Modim. Once the Shiach Sivur begins Modim, and you have not had Akiras Raglan, you have not moved in some way towards the Duchen, you may not do Birchas Kohanim. That does not include going to wash your hands. If you're going to wash your hands, that's not considered Akiras Raglan. It must be after having washed your hands and then pivoting. In such a case, the Kohen should simply walk out and not go up to the Duchen, so as not, again, not to appear as if he's puzzled. Good? Okay. If the Kohen didn't move towards the Duchen by the time Modim begins, so the Tshuvas HaRadva says that he may not go up at all, as we said, and even if he was delayed against his will, there was a stray cat, and you need to save him and bring it to its owner, and there was a fire, and you helped a lady cross the street, doesn't matter. Even if it was Ba'onis and B'shogeg, you may not go up to the Duchen if you did not pivot before Modim. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm a Kohen. I'm also a Shliach Tzibor on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Correct.
And I do Duchen.
Yeah.
But I can't go up to the Duchen.
Correct.
And
say, so you do it from where you stand. Correct.
So I'm not moving at Ritzei.
Yeah.
Can I still go up?
You stay where you do it from your place.
There are three opinions.
Oh, you
one
walk
is
to
you actually walk to the Duchen.
Okay. So again, that's a whole other parsha. We'll keep it to the simple case right now. We'll discuss the Shliach Tzibor and his inyanim. The Kohen is the Shliach Tzibor. We'll save that for after. Okay. Let's stick to the regular case here. There are other bidyevid circumstances of Akiras Raglaim and Ritzei, and the Shulchan Aruch discusses those bidyevid cases, but again, we'll stick to Lechatchila. Lechatchila, the Kohen should be going up to the Duchen before Modim. The Gemara in Sota Lametes says that after Ritzei, as the Kohanim go up to the Duchen, they should recite the Yehi Ratzon, asking Hashem that the bracha should go smoothly, and the Beis Yosef notes that according to the Rishonim, it should be said as you go up to the Duchen. However, the Magen Avraham notes that nowadays the Kohanim walk up to the Duchen while the recitation of Ritzei is going on, and therefore they also are saying Modim at the same time. So what we did is we kicked the Hiratzon to the end by after Modim. So the Kohanim can say Modim and then also say the Hiratzon. So Rashi writes there in the Gemara in Sota and Lamites that the Hiratzon should be finished as the Shiach Tzibor says, Hato Shimcha Ulucha Ne'el Lehodos. So when the Tzibor says Amen, they're also including the Amen on your personal tefillah as well. You should say the end of the Hiratzon as the Shliach Tzibor says, Hato Shimcha Ulucha Ne'el Lehodos as well. And then the Mishabura adds that you, the Kohen should be sure to also say Amen, because you have to say Amen to the bracha of Shliach Tzibur. So you should answer Amen as well, and you should also finish up your Hiratzon at the same time. Don't forget to say Amen to the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur. What is the posture of the Kohen before Birchas Kohanim? The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem says that during Birchas Kohanim, the Emas HaTzibur, the fear of the Tzibur, is upon the Kohanim, and therefore they must face them during the bracha itself, with their backs towards the Shechina. So the Shulchan Aruch infers from here that because the Gemara had to tell you that during the bracha you must face the Tzibur, it must mean that before the bracha your back is to the Tzibur and you are facing the Shechina, i.e. the Aron Kodesh. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin Perek Yedaled that until the Shliach Tzibur finishes the bracha of Hatov Shimcha Ulecha Ne'el Lahodos, the Kohanim leave their hands and arms relaxed at the side, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah says as well. The Gemara in Sota then says in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, following Abaye, that there are two or more Kohanim, then the Shliach Tzibur calls out to them, Kohanim, and if not, there's no calling out as well, the Kohen simply begins on his own. Now, turning and the bracha itself. During the Birchas Kohanim, the Kohanim must face the Tzibur, as we said, the Emas HaTzibur, to give proper cover to the Tzibur. The Torah says as well, Amor Lahem, you should say to the Kohanim. So the Gemara and Sota learns from here that the Kohanim and the Tzibur must be Panim Keneged Panim, because Amor Lahem, you're talking to them, just as you would hopefully give respect to the person you're talking to by facing them, so too when you say the bracha, you should be facing the Tzibur as well. In addition, the Gemara and Sota says in Daf Mem, La'olam Te Emas HaTzibur Alecha, and this is a proper sign of respect for the Tzibur. Then the Gemara says,
turning around in middle of
we're getting there. We're one stage at a time. We're building everything up. Yeah.
Before the bracha, it's the Kohanim. They say, Am Kodesh Yushech HaKamor.
Yeah.
Now I've seen Kohanim say it, and Tzibur say it.
So the Kohanim don't say it. The Tzibur will say it. There's some Tzibur's do say it, some people don't, but the Kohanim don't say it. The Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph tells us the Kohanim recite the bracha of Ashir Kedushonu B'Kedushoso Shel Aaron before Birchas Kohanim as well, and the Tshuvas Hamabit in Chelek Aleph and Simen Tuf in Simen Kuf Pei says that each Kohen must make the bracha himself, so you'll concentrate and pay attention. You cannot be Yotze with another Kohen having you in mind to say the bracha before Birchas Kohanim. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillin again in Perek Yedaled that before he turns to bless the Tzibur, the Kohen should recite the bracha. Before he turns, you should recite the bracha. However, the Meiri and the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Shari Knesset HaGadolah, say that the bracha of B'Kedushas HaSha'aron should be said while facing the Tzibur. So we have a machlokas Rishonim and a machlokas in the poskim, seemingly, should the bracha of B'Kedushas HaSha'aron said before they turn or after they turn. So the Maaser HaKeach and the Elia Rabba think that the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch really agree with the Rambam, the bracha said while facing the Aron Kodesh, not while facing the Tzibur. So the Chida comes up with a compromise. The Chida writes in the Birkei Yosef, he brings up Shara and says they should say Ashir Kedushanu B'Kedushoso Shel Aron while facing the Aron Kodesh, and then turn and say B'Tzivanu Levareich after they turned around, and therefore, as the Mishnah Berurah says, you get the best of both worlds. You follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch by saying the first part while facing Aron Kodesh, and the middle afterwards. Yeah.
But then you're Yotzei Nida.
Well, I guess it's a half empty, half full type of perspective. I guess you're half the first half you have according to the Rambam, the second half according to the
Mishnah. You wouldn't be Yotzei according to the Rambam, and you wouldn't be Yotzei according to. Right?
I hear, I get, the Chida thinks that it's you're getting the best of both worlds, but I hear the answer that way, I hear it possible. That question is often raised as to whatever. There's other Svekas as well, we try to compromise, and the Poskim discuss, are you getting both, are you getting nothing? Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and the Mezuzahs, right? The Vilna Gaon says that when it comes to Mezuzah, that if the halacha is b'ikr like Rashi, that the mezuzah should be standing, but we're worried about Rabbeinu Tam, and so we have the mezuzah slant a little bit. So the Vilna Gaon says Well, then it's not Rashi and it's not Rabbeinu Tam. So what do you accomplish? So the Vilna Gaon says that's why he thinks the halacha should be the mitzvah standing up, like Rashi. But at the end of the day, the meaning is that we like to make shalom and try to make everybody happy. So the Rambam again says in Hilchas Tefila, the Kohanim always turn to the right. Everything to the right, regardless of your politics. Everything is always turned to the right. The Beis Yosef notes that Chazal always tell us to turn towards the right in everything we do. Trumas Hadesh and Reis and Simon Tzadiches. And the Beis Yosef say that this is the case of the end of Brichas Kohanim as well. You turn to the right to begin the bracha, and then when you're done, you turn to the right, continuing clockwise the other way. And the Prima Gadim says that this is also the case for lefties as well, most likely because it's just awkward when he's turning one way and everybody else is turning the other way. So therefore, it's just everybody should turn in the same direction towards the right as well. Posture during Birchas Kohanim. The Gemara in Sota says, again in Daf Lamed Ches, that is
something about during the bracha, you're actually supposed to keep your hands closed. And then when you get to Ba'ahava, open them up.
I didn't see that in the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't see that, but it could be. There could be there's such a minhag. That's, I don't know. It could be. Certainly before the bracha begins itself, you don't have to do anything with your hands. But there could be such a minhag by Ba'ahava. It could be. So the Gemara in Sota says we have a Gzeira Shava. We compare Ko Sivarchu, that you should bless, to the brachos of Hargrizim and Har Eval, where it says, Eila Yamdu Levarech, that by Hargrizim and Har Eval, when Bnei Yisrael got the brachos and the klalos, they had to stand as well. So in both cases, we compare both brachos, and therefore the Kohanim must stand during Birchas Kohanim. Tosa says, if you cannot stand for Birchas Kohanim, it is Ma'akev the brach, and you may not say Birchas Kohanim. And this is the case even if a person is older, or if he needs to lean on something, you must be able to stand in order to do Birchas Kohanim. The Torah says, Vayisaron Sadav Alam Vayivrachem, that Aaron raises his hands over the nation and blesses them. And the Gemara and Sota learns from here that the hands of the Kohanim must be raised during Birchas Kohanim. How raised are we talking about? So the Mishnah in Sota and the Mishnah in Talmud says that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the hands of the Kohen should be shoulder height, and inside of the Beis HaMikdash, the hands of the Kohen should be above his, at head height, by his head, way higher. So we do not have the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. So our Kohanim put their hands at shoulder height, and in the Mikdash, they explain the Shechina rests on the hands, mamish of the Kohanim, so they had to put their hands above their head, the Shechina rests above the person's head, but this is not an issue nowadays, and therefore we keep our hands at shoulder height. The Minhag Arizal is to have the hands above the head, but the Minhag is generally not like the Arizal. Again, we have our hands at shoulder height. When measuring what is shoulder height, it should be mamish at shoulder height. Not like we're coming around with a ruler and making sure, you know, it doesn't drop a millimeter, but if I were to draw a line from your shoulder going outwards, it should be a 90 degree line going out, that to make sure your hands do not fall above the line of shoulder height. To the extent that I heard Rabbi Schechter say that a Kohen should be careful not to shuckle forward, because when you shuckle forward, then your hands will go below the line of the shoulder height. So you should be very careful to keep those hands at shoulder height to the best of your ability. Again, if a person is doing what he can, we'll get to leniencies in a second. Yeah.
Can it be above?
It can be above, but definitely not below. If you feel like you need a little extra, you know, push, a little extra safety room, it can definitely go higher. The Nodes Behud has a famous shuva about this in Aruch Chaim and Siman Hey. The Nodes Behud says that if a Kohen cannot hold up his arms at shoulder height, then he is puzzled to give the brach. And this is cited by the Mishabura. The Ksav Sofer qualifies this and says that the Kohen is allowed to put his arms down between each word of the brach. If you're tired, so between, let's say, the singing, whatever it is, you can put your arms down and rest a little bit. But when it comes to saying the words, hands up, all the way, not going below the shoulders. There is a leniency that is brought in the tshuvos of the Avin Ezer. The Avin Ezer writes in Siman Lamed Aleph that only the hands have to be above the shoulders, but not the rest of the arms. Only the hands, not the rest of the arms. And therefore you may see other Kohanim who bend their arms and have the hands like this, their elbows low, but their hands not all the way extended. So this is based on the Avin Ezer. Why? Because it's called Nesias Kapayim. Nesias Kapayim means your hands, not Nesias Yadayim. In Halacha, the Yad means the whole arm. It's called Nesias Kapayim, says the Avin Ezer. And therefore, only the Kapayim need to be at shoulder height, but the rest of the arm can slope down. The Be'er Sheva and the Gemara and Sota argues vehemently. And he says that raising the hands are learned from the pasuk of Vayisaron Es Yadav Al Ha'am. It's very nice that you call Nesias Kapayim. But who told you to call it that? The pasuk says, "Vayisa yadav," he raised his arms, and therefore the whole arm should be extended all the way. Yadai means the entire arm. In tefillin, right, where do we put the tefillin? Al yadecha. You don't put the tefillin on your hand. Yadayim mean the whole arm. And therefore, certainly, he says, the whole hand must be extended above the shoulder. And therefore, lichat chila, the kohanim should have their whole arm extended by the shoulders. But if a kohen feels the need that he has such a mesora, or he leans in this regard, we're not going to kick him out if he keeps his arms bent. But lichat chila, it should be, according to most poskim, all the way at shoulder height. Okay? Yeah.
Okay, so we know that when Moshe couldn't keep his arms up in the battle with Amalek, he had someone to help him.
Correct.
So what if there was an old Kohen? Could his aide come up with him and hold his arms up?
I don't think it. He has to be able to hold his arms himself. But you saw Aronis Yadav. As long as he's a Kohen. As long as he's a Kohen. You can't, the next halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you can't use a Kohen as a Yashamish. So. Make room. Make room.
We don't have room.
That's why we have beautiful carpets on the floor here. I know the carpets are not, it's not the minor leagues. The carpets are still,
what?
We're going to make the best we can. We're trying to extend. Yeah, you figure it out. Make shalom. Good. The Hagos Maimoni writes in the Rambam that the Pasuk says, again, Vayisaranos Yadav, and the word Yadav can also mean, depending on how you spell or read it, can be singular or plural. And therefore, the Hagos Maimoni says, Alpi Kabbalah, it's proper to raise the right hand slightly above the left. The right hand should be a little bit on top of the left. The right hand should be a little bit on top of the left hand. And the Ber Moshe, the Deborah Tina Rav, says this is also the case for lefties. Even lefties should have their right hand on top of the left hand, because these are things, Alpi Kabbalah. It's not about the dominance of your hand, it's rather about the right hand represents. And the Maril writes that you must make sure that the hands are still touching each other, even though you have the right hand a little bit on top of the left hand. Kadesh shelo yishaber hachalon, in order to not break the famous windows that we'll discuss in a moment. The Tshuvas of the Radvaz writes in Arachaim and Simon Yates that the fingers should be facing Shemayim and the palms towards the Tzibor like this. The Beis Yosef says the palms should be facing the ground. So the Tzitz Eliezer writes in Chelek Yudalef and Simon Vav that you can fulfill both. You can have a little bit out, a little bit up, somewhere in between, and therefore you make everybody happy. But obviously, at the end of the day, you have to choose one, hands down like the Beis Yosef. But if you want to be Mekayim, the Tshuvas Theravad as well, you can do a little bit in between, a little down and out, in order to make everyone happy. And each person should follow their own minhag in this case. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim in Perek Bey says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Meitzitz Min HaCharakim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu stares at us, he long looks at us between the lattices. Obviously, there's a lot of meaning to that statement on its own, but for us, we care about the Bamidbar Rabbah. The Bamidbar Rabbah says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu rests his Shechina in between the fingers of the Kohanim during Birchas Kohanim, and all the Rishonim say, based on this, the Kohanim should spread their hands out in some way to create Charakim, some sort of window lattice formation, as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is staring through this lattice. So the Shulchan Aruch writes here in our Siman, based on the Rokeach and the Rosh and Megill and Parag Gimel, that the fingers should be spread so that the ring and the pinky fingers are touching, the middle finger and the pointer are touching, and the two thumbs are touching, creating these five spaces in between the hands, these five windows, so to speak, to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu staring. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Meitzitz Min Ha Charakim. Hey Charakim, five lattices, five windows, and therefore there's the image of these five holes, so to speak, come through in the hands of the Kohanim. The Mekubalim, based on the Zohar and Parshas Nasa, say, nope, all the fingers should be spread out like this, no fancy handwork like Spock. Rather, it should be all spread out, and this is the best way to do it. The meaning of the Gra as well was to have all hands spread out, not in the way that many Kohanim do it. And the Kaf HaChaim says, you also get five chalonot as well, because between each one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the other end, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as well. So you get a bunch of fives in there as well, says the Kaf HaChaim, and therefore you get some sort of idea as well. Other minhagim are brought by Rabbeinu Bachin, Shmos, and Parakut Zion. Rav Yaakov Emden has other minhagim about the hand formation, his sitter, the Beis Yosef, Bishen, the Mari Abu Hav, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has his own mahalach and Simon Kuf, Rabbeinu Manoach, and the Rabbim in Hilchos Tefila, Parakut Dalet, says that since this is minhag is not based on Shas, so whatever you do is good. It's nothing found in the Gemara. It's all based on Kabbalah and Minhag. So whatever your father did is fine. Just do something with your fingers, and that should be okay.
I mean, there are ancient tombstones that they found with this.
The five
the,
like this.
The way everyone knows it. I hear.
Rabbeinu Bach is already in the early Rishonim. So they had different things. There must have been different custom in different communities. The Mishabua writes in Simf Katan Mem Gimel, and he cites the Sefer HaMinhagim, the Hagos of Rav Isaac of Ternau, that if your hands are tired during the singing, you can close your fingers as well in order to give your fingers a rest if it's hard for you to do this for so long. Let's get to the bracha itself. So Tosis writes in Bracha Saf Lamadal, Aleph, citing a medrash which says Amor Lahem, meaning the bracha should be called out to the Kohanim. Part of the bracha should be called out responsibly by somebody else and the Kohanim, and they should respond. This is cited by the Shulchan Aruch here as well. The Sefer Eshkol says this is only a minog. It's not a dina de gemara. You don't have to have somebody called out, but this is what we do. And the Levush says Amor Lahem is only an asmachta ba'alma. It's not even a d'oraisa d'rabanan. But nevertheless, the Taz says, this is a drasha gemura min haTorah. Somebody must call out to the Kohanim, and they cannot say it by themselves. The Yerushalmi in Sotah Perek Zayin says,
somebody else calls out, not the Chazan.
Well, that depends on the shul. Again, we're only discussing the Kohanim's issues tonight. We can discuss the Shliach Tzibur, or the communities in Eretz Yisrael. Often the Shliach Tzibur is not the one who does it. So in America, we like to give the Shliach Tzibur something to do. So we have him do it. What?
Since he helps us sing.
There you go. So the Yerushalmi says the Kohen should recite the bracha Me'ula Shibakolos. What does that mean, Me'ula Shibakolos? But not too loud, not too soft. That's what it means. It should be in a nice, even keeled way. You shouldn't be dominating, but it shouldn't be too low. And the Pri Chadosh adds that you want the shul to hear your voice. You don't have to scream, but it should be Me'ula. It should be in a pleasant way. No Kohen should overpower the rest of the Tzibur. The Kohanim should work together. The Kohanim should work as a group to be on the same page. So it is Me'ula. It sounds pleasant to the Tzibur. The Eliarab understands the above Gemara. What? That's not my job. So the Kohanim should sing the brach in a Me'ula Shebekolos means, says Eliarabba, a pleasant manner. In a nice way. Therefore, the Kohanim should sing the brach. They shouldn't just say, Yivarechacha. They should say it in a way that comes out in a pleasant fashion. The Chumash Hadashin writes in Simen Chavav that the Kohanim should be consistent in their niggin so they don't confuse themselves. Stick to one niggin. Don't change up in the middle. Keep it all the way through. The Yisodi Yeshurin says the Birchas Kohanim is supposed to be said with Simcha and Tuv Lev, and the Shechina does not rest on somebody unless there is Simcha through singing, and therefore that's why we sing Birchas Kohanim. I'm not going to go through all the different negudim for Birchas Kohanim right now. But there are in America, at least in the non-Hasidish places, there are three minhagim of negudim that I've heard in my travels. There is the one that I grew up with, which is which I think we do often in the shul sometimes. There is the other meaning of which is more popular in most shuls. And then in the Midwest, I've heard in the following one, which is outside of those three, I have not heard any other niggun in a non-Hasidish shul, and those niggunim should probably what most people are familiar with. Chabad is their own special niggun, written by the second Rebbe, all different types of things. But these are the general niggunim that we find in our shuls. Is that a fair statement? Did I say anything that was so crazy? Those are the general niggunim that we find. The Minog Ashkenaz, based on the Hagos Maimonian Hilchos Tefila and Perek Yudalid, citing the Maharam Rothenberg, the great Ashkenazi Rav, is that the Kohanim sing the Niggun before the last word of each part of the bracha. Why? So that Tzibur can recite the Ribono Shel Olam regarding their dreams. That's the whole purpose of the song. So that we can be able to say a tefillah for our dreams. Obviously, on Shabbos, when you don't have personal tefillahs in this regard, there's no niggin, because they're not saying Ribono Shel Olam, and that cuts out the singing. The Gemara in Sotah Lama Tes tells us that the Tzibur, the Sheach Tzibur, the Kohanim, may not speak their parts, whether it is the Amen, the Bracha, the Ribono Olamim, calling out the Bracha, until the section before it has been completed. Meaning the gate, just like the Panama Canal. The next lock on the gate does not open until the one before it has closed. So you cannot start your part until you are sure that the person before you has finished their thing. That's the Amen, the Chazan, the Kohanim. So everything moves in a non-rushed pace, making sure that the piece before you has already been completed.
In Eretz Yisrael, where every day there's duchening and no singing. What happens to the Ribono Shel Olam and the tefillahs?
I don't know what they... I don't think they say it.
They don't say it.
Everyone in Eretz Yisrael has good dreams.
How many people here say it?
What?
How many people in America say it?
I don't know. I take a poll.
I think they say it, but it's so frequently that they just feel like they're supposed to say it.
There we go. Okay. Yushalvi Sota says that it's usher to look at the Kohanim during Birchas Kohanim. Because? Not because you'll go blind. Because it is a Hesach Hadas. If the Kohanim and the Tzibur are staring at each other, you have enough trouble concentrating what he's doing. And now I got this guy looking at me and staring at me. So we don't look at the Kohanim. The Kohanim will look at us because of the Hesach Hadas. So the Beis Yosef says that the Kohanim shouldn't look at the Tzibur, so they don't get distracted as well. And the Beis Yosef cites the Minhag Mitzrayim, the custom in Mitzrayim, that the Kohanim drape the talis over their faces and their hands. And he says, Minhag Yafa. This is the proper thing to do, so that everybody's good. You're not looking at the people are looking at you, you have your own little private office underneath your talis, just you and Hashem, and therefore everyone will be able to concentrate properly. The Darkei
Mo... The Gross says, keep your hands out.
And keep your hands out, correct. The
Minhag... So you should cover your face.
Your face.
Look at your hands.
Correct. So the Darkei Moshe brings the minhag of many Ashkenazim only cover the face, but not the hands as well. So the Kohanim should do what their minhag is. The Shulchan Aruch writes at the end of this simen, based on the Rokeach, that the Kohanim should sway their arms left and right when they say Yivarechacha, V'yishmerecha, Eilecha, V'yichuneka, Eilecha, Lecha, and Shalom. Essentially, all the words that end in Cha and Shalom. And the Levush explains that we want the bracha to extend out to those people around the sides. So since I'm using that lashon of bracha at that moment, I want to make sure, you know, I sweep the whole room and I get everybody covered.
To knock the guys that are around.
So the Magen Avraham explains, right, these are the words that are in second person. It's directed toward these people, and therefore we sway our hands with the bracha in the direction.
Right first. So you all move to the...
You all do it in sync also. You don't want to start any trouble. The Darkei Moshe says these words contain mini brachos on their own. Meaning, within the whole bracha, there are three brachos. And within the three brachos, those specific words are like mini brachos. There's like an extra bracha in those words. And therefore, we're extra careful to extend the hands at those times. Let's finish up with after the bracha. The Gemara in Sotah Lama Tes says that after the bracha, the Kohanim should say the Ribono Olamim, to say that their bracha should be accepted by Hashem. And Rashi says it should also conclude, as the Sheach Tzibur says, Hamavareich Esamo Yisrael Bashalom, so that Tzibur should answer Amen, going on their personal tefillah as well. And the Mishabur reminds the Kohanim to answer Amen to the bracha of Shalom as well, just like we did at the beginning with Hato Shimcha Dose, to make sure you say Amen and also your own personal tefillah. The Gemara in Sotah Lama Tes says that the Kohanim cannot turn around until the Shliach Tzibur begins Sim Shalom. They cannot put their hands down until they turn around. They cannot descend from the Duchen until the Shliach Tzibur concludes Hamavarech Esamo Yisrael Bashalom. So everything has to be waited until that stage has been completed. The Trumas Hadeshin writes in the Psakim and Simen Kuf Tes that they should really wait to come down until the Tzibur has answered Amen to the Bracha of the Shliach Tzibur. Until the Amen is said, it's still considered part of the Bracha of Sim Shalom until a proper Amen has been recited. And the Sefer Aguda writes in his Parish in Megillah and Perek Gimel, cited by the Ramah, that the Kohanim should be careful to not touch their shoes until after Birchas Kohanim, so they don't have to wash their hands again for davening as well.
Is there anybody who says anything about going down after Kaddish?
Right.
The minhag is to go down after Kaddish. I'm not sure where it comes from, but...
I was told that the basis of it was that they shouldn't be masuk the Kaddish.
You get in the way. With Yashikos. Right. I hear. Right. It makes sense. It makes sense. The whole thing, you know...
We definitely shock if you go down right after. And there's so many definitely shock if you go down right after.
Even though they say Kaddish.
So you have to say Tachan.
Ah, so there you go. Because there's no Kaddish. Fine. It makes sense. It happens to be also to us, it's usher to walk in front of the chazan. Anyone who is davening, saying Kaddish, so all those reasons would certainly apply as well. The whole inyan of wishing a kohen yashar koach, again, it's not your job, that's their job. We gave a shiur about that a couple years ago as well. You can go listen to that online as well to hear about that. And this, I think, is a good summary to hopefully fulfill the brach in a beautiful way. Yeah.
So did I miss? So we're not supposed to be leaning forward during the bracha?
To be there's no inyan to lean forward.
Isn't there only by a shemi to stand straight? And by the way, only by a shemi stand straight?
Meaning, that's just the opposite of what I just... It's the opposite of anything where there's lashon nochach, where the word is in second person,
right.
Yivarechacha, then you sway.
Yivarechacha, you sway. But let's say yisa, you're swaying forward.
Yisa. I didn't see anyone say to sway forward by those things. Fine. To sway forward, the downward...
I hear.
I'm not sure. Okay, we have to find out more about that minhag.
So many minhagim.
But this is the basis. This is the skeleton. We could go into each of these topics for a long time. This is just an overview. Hopefully that our brachos this year by Pesach should be mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be mashpia on the tzibor, and all good things for Klal Yisrael.
Amen.